Good morning, Mr. Brady. How are you?
Good morning, guys.
In my opinion, in my humble opinion, Tom, the most significant play yesterday is a play where nothing happened. The hit to your knee early in the third quarter could have been devastating. It was not. What's your recollection of that moment in the game?
I'm glad I had a knee brace on. Those are scary, man, when you've been through those ones before. He got me in a good spot, and I'm glad the knee brace took the brunt of the force. So, I mean, why every cook that, and why I never wore a knee brace before, I have no idea. And why every quarterback doesn't wear one on their left knee, I have no idea. It's just so unprotected. But we're able to kind of withstand those literally and figuratively. There's the different blows from San Diego, and we made some good plays out there in all three phases, and that was really a great complimentary game by all of us to that team win. So it's a very good San Diego team, and really, if you guys remember from last year, that was a tough game that we played against them last year. Had we not got the turnovers from them last year in San Diego, we didn't do anything offensively. So to come out and play this way offensively against a very good defensive team was I think, very encouraging for all of us.
In Teddy Bruschi's most incisive piece of analysis that did not include Ocho Cinco recently, Bruschi said he'd like to see the Patriots win a game when you, Tom Brady, don't throw three or four touchdowns or 300 or 400 yards, but on the backs of a dominating New England defense. A, would you like to see that, Tom, and would that ultimately be helpful to this team going forward?
Well, I think there's going to be days where the offense scores points and the defense goes up against a good offense. I think there's going to be days where the offense doesn't score a lot of points and the defense needs to shut them down. That's team football. And you never know when those games come up. I mean, last year we had so many turnovers from our defense. That was a huge reason of why we were successful. And this year, look, that's going to be another reason. We're going to get the ball from the opponents like we did yesterday. Turnovers are a huge key to the game. I don't know if Teddy doesn't think that four turnovers is pretty good defensively, but I mean that's a great performance by a defense. They stopped. That's two back to back weeks of goal line stand. Mm-hmm. And look, it's opportunistic. I mean, look, are you gonna shut every offense down to below 200 yards in productivity? No, certainly not. Not in the NFL. But look, when we get our chances, we got to be able to take advantage of those. That's something that we did. We've been doing, and we got to continue to do.
And that might be the second best offense in the AFC you faced yesterday. But I wanted to ask one more question about the hit on the knee, Tom. Did you get an explanation of why that's not a penalty? Why does that not violate the Brady rule?
I think that's the Carson Palmer rule. I got another one. The Raiders like to remind me about, but I don't know. I didn't, as a quarterback, you're looking downfield, so you never, obviously if they're blocked into you or if they're pushed into you by an offensive player, then it's not a penalty. So, I really couldn't tell. You feel where you get hit, and I talked to the ref, and I'm like, look, we're just standing in the pocket. You're a defenseless position, and hopefully, they're trying to protect all defenseless players out there, whether it's a defenseless receiver or someone that's out of a play and gets a cheap shot, or a punter or a quarterback standing in the pocket. But you leave it up to the ref to make the calls, and sometimes they get them right, sometimes they don't.
Hey, obviously your tight ends have been great so far, and you guys are clearly on the same page. I was wondering, watching these two guys, both in their second year, both young guys, still learning, are they always where they're supposed to be, Tom? 100% of the time, are they where they are supposed to be?
They are, everybody, 100% of the time, that's every time. I mean, look, there's times where we all make mental errors. You think one thing, your instincts tell you another. But they've been very productive this season, this training camp. And Rob was very productive last year. So was Aaron when he got his opportunities. And now that they're primarily on the field for almost all the games, times they weren't necessarily that way last year. They've been able to take advantage of their opportunities. And when they get the chance to make the plays in the passing game, they're doing it. When they're called upon to get Benny yards and Woody yards, they're doing it. So they're consistent players, but very dependable, tough, and they're making plays. And we gotta continue to find ways to get them the ball. Other teams, as you go through the season, we'll try to figure out ways to stop them, to slow them down, and then we gotta use other guys. We gotta get other guys opportunities. So it's a complementary game. If they're covering the tight end, we gotta throw it outside. If they're covering outside, we gotta throw it inside. If they're playing the pass, we gotta run it. If they're rushing the pass, right, we gotta screen it. It's a chess game. It's constantly trying to take advantage of something that they're not aware of.
Tom, I don't know if you're much of a metric guy. I know that all that really matters to you are wins and losses. But I'm wondering, when you look at the stats, if you indeed look at the stats, which one do you think are most accurately reflective of how a quarterback is played, the most telling stat? I mean, is it passer rating? Is it completion percentage? Some people say yards per attempt is the way to go. What rings your bell?
I'm not a big stat guy.
No.
I'm really not. I don't think that it really is indicative of how a quarterback's playing. You could throw for 700 yards, but if you have a gazillion attempts or you turn the ball over, or there's a lot of things that a quarterback position can do to help win the game, and that's every position. So, look, you're a quarterback and you take a sack on third down, and you're on the 32-yard line going in, and now you're sacked back to the 38-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't reflect in the stat sheet that, it's a sack, but really it's a terrible play by a quarterback to take you out of field goal range. So all those little things over the course of the game, to me, that you just have to watch and understand what the quarterback's decision-making process is, because every play, every time you have the ball in your hands, you have an opportunity to make a decision. And if it's a good decision, no matter what it may be, even though there may not be two good options on the play, but you can make a better decision whether to throw the ball away or take a sack. I mean, you never want to turn the ball over. But touchdowns, whether you throw it in from the one or you run it in from the one, it doesn't matter. You throw a screen pass from 50 yards out. Yeah, it looks great for a quarterback rating and yards, but everyone else did the work. So that's why an offensive football is totally complementary. And as a quarterback, you only are able to be as good as every single guy around you. From the offensive line protecting you like they did yesterday, sort of running backs running the ball, sort of receivers, tight ends being in the right position to catch the ball, making great catches. So it's all the credit, believe me, is spread to every single guy on offense. That's where it goes. That's where it belongs, and that's where it always will be, especially around here.
Tom, based on your reluctance last Monday to discuss with us that historical passing performance, I know you're much rather preferred discussing things that didn't go well for the team because you like to improve on them. So you don't want to hear that you're on pace for 56 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and 7,520 yards. So I'll ask you about a bad play yesterday. Not that you've done the math. Fourth quarter, 4th and 4 at midfield, incomplete to Welker after Phillips tipped it. Not what you had in mind on that play, I'm assuming.
No, I thought I had a chance to get West the ball. It was 3rd and 4, and he made a good play. I mean, he's athletic. He actually intercepted a ball last week against Connor McNabb to start the season on a similar type of pass, and he nipped it and put us in 4th down. We didn't convert on the next one. So, if I had it back, I'd obviously do something very different.
Well, why were you upset at the officials? It looked like on that play, or after that play, you were yapping at the ref a little bit.
On the one to Dion, I thought it was illegal contact or pass interference. He grabbed his face mask as he was trying to catch the ball, but.
What about the throw? We made a list of mistakes that we could talk to you about because you're sick of talking about all these records you're setting. The throw to Dion in the end zone, you weren't happy about that play, settling for a field goal either. What happened on that? Do you share the blame with Dion? Was it miscommunication or what?
Dion was trying to work his way open, and I was trying to throw him open, and there was someone standing between the two of us, and you know, I saw one thing, Deion saw another. What I really should have done was held onto the ball longer, because I really wasn't rushed, and we'd have been able to sort it out with another half second, and I just kind of forced it and ended up throwing it out of bounds. But we had a pretty good scoring opportunity there, and I think the thing that's frustrating about that early in the game is, you know, that San Diego, with their offense and what they're capable of, that those times where you get the ball inside the 5-yard line, you've got to be able to capitalize. And we didn't do that last year against them. We were 2-5 in the linear against last year. So it was really a big point of emphasis of getting the ball in the end zone when we're inside the 5. And, we came away from that with just a field goal, which, was frustrating for all of us. And certainly we want to be able to punch the ball in. When we have guys open and we have opportunity, now, if they make a good play, they make a good play. But to me, I could have held on to the ball a little bit longer and got the ball in the end zone on that one.
Tom, where you and Deion were on the same page was at the end of the first half after the Vince interception. How does that situational football, and I think I understand how it works in practice, get translated to the field? Is it something said? Is it a play called? Is it just looking at each other? Tell us about that simpatico between you and Deion that got the necessary yardage and, by the way, had him step out of bounds 1 second before the clock expired.
Yeah, Coach Belichick, I mean, we've gone over that situation since the start of training camp probably 6 or 7 times. So then it's just a matter of execution. Mm-hmm. And I thought that the guys up front, all the receivers and Aaron, who was in there, had a great understanding of what we were trying to do. And we took advantage of them giving us some soft coverage out there and getting us, I don't know how many yards we needed. We were in the 40 this past midfield to start the drive. We gained 16, 17 yards to make it to get into Steve's field goal range.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big play. I mean, we were up 17-7 to go to 20-7. You feel pretty good. There was a lot of energy from our entire team going in at halftime because, we basically stole 3 points. I mean, they were going in. They in the 2-minute drive, they were moving the ball. Vince makes a hell of a play. And then we're able to take advantage by playing good situational football and then special teams coming through. So that's the defense making a play, offense making 2 plays, and special teams making us a play. And that's complementary football, and that's what we're trying to do every single time that we take the field.
Well, ultimately, what was really helpful is the Chargers were unaware that Deion was an eligible receiver for those last 2 plays.
You always point out how dumb you have to be to play defense. I think the Chargers made your point for you there.
Well, I'd say no. I mean, actually, that's one of the smarter teams that we play, and I have a lot of respect for those guys. We've had some battles against them, and they've got great coaching, great players. We just made some good plays, to tell you the truth. And they don't know if you're going for the end zone. They don't know what you're doing. I mean, we could run a play to, run a touchdown scoring play. So they're protecting one thing, but we take advantage of something else. I mean, you can't cover everything out there.
Well, you don't have to cover the middle of the field, though, Tom, when you don't have any timeouts, do you?
No, they don't. I mean, you never know. If I throw 45 yards in the middle of the field for a touchdown, you'd say, God, why didn't you cover the middle of the field? Which, we've done that in practice. So wherever they're not, that's where we're going to try to throw the ball.
Hey, I know you probably don't want to revisit the Brewski, brouhaha, Brewski's comments on Chad Ochocinco, but it struck me, Tom, when I heard from all your former teammates, it was Rodney Harrison, Damian Woody, Troy Brown, they all kind of backed up Brewski. It just seems like the point they're making is what Ochocinco did was violate a simple rule you guys have is, you can't be in awe, you can't be a spectator, you can't be, blown away by anything you guys do. It's just business. You're just doing your jobs. And Belichick said the same thing after the game. Is that just kind of a rule you have to live by if you're going to play for the Patriots?
Well, we all just are trying to do our job. I mean, that's the thing about it. If as a quarterback, that's why it's so fun, I think, playing for the Patriots, is because all I have to do is play quarterback. I don't have to worry about coaching decisions. I don't have to worry about personnel. I don't have to worry about the running backs. I just have to play quarterback, and that's what I'm trying to do. And I will say this about all those guys, whether it's Teddy making a comment. I love Teddy. I mean, he's one of my great friends, and all those guys that have played for us. But honestly, none of those guys have any clue what they're talking about. They're outside. They're outside of the locker room. They don't know what we're trying to accomplish. So, you know, with all due respect to them and what they've accomplished, and like I said, I love them, but, you know, they don't know. So everybody can really think what they want to think and say what they want to say, and whether that's about a receiver, a quarterback, a coach, a coaching, but nobody knows. The only people that it really matters to is the guys that are inside the locker room. And we support each other because we rely on each other and we count on each other. And every single player that's on the team is counted on to help us win. And anyone who's watching that game knew that, you know, Chad, for example, he helped us win yesterday. You know, he made two huge plays in the game, led the scoring drive. And so every single week it's going to be different guys. Matt Slater, how many catches did he have yesterday? None. What was the first catch of last week's game? You know, for a 50-yard completion to get us going down in a tough environment in Miami. So, you know, it's going to be someone, you know, hopefully it's someone different every week, whether it's the tight ends, the running backs, the receivers, you know, on defense, different guys that make a play. Sergio made a huge play yesterday. Vince had an interception. Gerard had a strip sack or a fumble. You know, Kyle Love had a strip sack. You know, look, that's what it takes, all 53 guys. And if you're... If Coach Belichick didn't feel confident that you could help us win, then you wouldn't be here. And that's the he always says, you know, he's going to do what's best and always in the best interest of the team. And that's what he always does. And that's who we count on. That's who we trust. And the guys in the locker room, we believe that. And that's why we're trying to take the field every day, trying to get better and listen to what he's saying and listen to his coaching.
Are you ready for the dreaded hypothetical question? I don't think we've done one of these yet this year, Tom.
No, you're a little behind.
Yeah, all right. Here it comes. Now, it's not Tom Brady. It's just some quarterback in the National Football League. Because I know how you have to answer this to take care of your guys. If you were some quarterback in the National Football League, would you prefer to have as your wide receiver Jerry Rice and a bunch of Jags, just another guy, or the combination of Branch and Welker and Hernandez and Gronkowski and Ocho Cinco and Woodhead and Green Ellis as your options across the field? The best in the world, or this assemblage that the Patriots have?
Well, I think it's always, you know, quantity over just, you know, one guy.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have multiple guys. You got to have a bunch of different players. Because in basketball, I mean, you could try to stop Kobe Bryant, you know, all day long, but look, he's gonna score points no matter what you do. In football, you can really, if you want to take a guy out of the game, you can take a guy out of the game. And that's really not hard to do, but at what expense? So, you know, if you have, you know, Jerry Rice, I mean, I love Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice is, you know, there's no better receiver in the history of the NFL over the course of his career, mm-hmm. productivity and, you know, all of his incredible stats. But, you know, he had a lot of good players around him too. And that helps him. And he made those other guys better too. And that's part of playing on the team. It's a team sport. So, look, the better that Wes Welker does, the better it's going to be for Deion and Chad and the tight ends. And the better the tight ends do, the better it's going to be for the receivers. And the better the passing game is, the better it'll be for the run game. And the better the run game is, the better it'll be for the play-action passing. So, you know, everything feeds off one another. And it's great when all those guys contribute because it's great to have everybody involved. And that feeling in the locker room that everybody contributed, from the players to the coaches, there's no better feeling in the world. I tell you, you drive home last night so satisfied that what you did that week was good enough. And who knows if it'll be good enough this week. We're going to have to put the week of work in. But it was good enough last week, and that's a real satisfying feeling.
I can see the headlines again. Brady makes headlines again. This is Jerry Rice. Says, I wouldn't want him.
I'd never do that.
No, of course, not a San Francisco boy like you. Hey, do you ever worry about overuse or of your guys, like you got your guys, particularly your young tight ends, they got guts, man. They go over the middle, they take the hits, they, you know, they fight for the ball. They don't know how to avoid contact, at least not yet. Can they do that? Can you allow that for 16 games?
Like I said, there's going to be guys that are counted on differently, and in different games, different guys will have their opportunities. But who's ever out there, we have to. You know, if you're out on the field, you're going to have to be able to make plays. If you're not able to make plays, you're not going to be out there. And with, you know, the tight ends, Aaron and Rob, and what they've done, and you know, you're right. Rob is such a big guy. I mean, look, there's a lot of tight ends in a league that I couldn't throw that touchdown, either of those touchdown passes that he caught. You know, you can't throw the ball to them because they get killed. But it's like with Rob, like you throw it and the guys that hit him get the worst of it. You know, because he's so big and strong, and he's able to take that contact, and that's what makes him dangerous, because there doesn't need to be a very big opening for him to get the ball, because he's able to take the contact, absorb it, and hold on to the ball. So, you know, look, you don't want to get him hit, I'll tell you that, but in the red area, when you're trying to squeeze that ball into pretty tight spaces, sometimes they are going to get hit. And, you know, he's really done an incredible job being able to withstand that, being on the field, and he's a huge contributor to our offense.
Hey, Tom, I'm wondering what you thought of the Belichick documentary, episode number one. And the second part of that question is, does anybody in the locker room have the cachet to mock him for wearing jeans at Sankaty Head Golf Course?
I watched it on a Saturday. I had a little time, and my friends were over, and I actually really enjoyed it. But it's nothing surprising to me. It's the same guy I see every day. But he, you know, it's also nice for, you know, to see that you know, he does take some time to enjoy, you know, his bye week or whatever it was, and to get away from football, because that's important for all of us to keep our mind clear, and so that we can, you know, I have that drive and focus every day to come to work. But you know, I'm sure the fans really enjoy that. My best friend was telling me that, I don't know, it was like the highest watched or the most watched program ever on the NFL Network. Is
right.
That true?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. So it tells you the kind of interest that it had. It was awesome television. It was great.
Was the Gillette Stadium crowd hydrated enough for you Sunday?
Yeah, I'm not. I hope so. I hope there was nobody that was. I hope there was nobody that was. You know, drinking irresponsibly. I was trying to just make a very subtle joke, but for a guy that doesn't even drink, me, you know, it's a lot of attention. And you know, I hope that you know, I think that I won't joke like that anymore. That wasn't the best thing for me to say. And you know, I won't ever say that again.
Were they loud enough for you?
They were great. You know, we've got a great home crowd. You know, we're playing good. There's no better crowd in America. And they're loud. They scream. You know, they're tough on opposing offenses. And that's what that, you know, there's a great advantage when the offense can't communicate. And we face that on the road in certain environments. And, you know, when the crowd really gets going at Gillette, it's a huge advantage for us. So, you know, we just got to keep it, give them reasons to cheer, give them reasons to be excited. And they're going to do their part.
The question of the week is brought to you by Auto Trader. Now compare brand spanking new cars and special offers side by side at autotrader.com. Was the pooch punt in the playbook and a possibility on 4th and 4 at midfield, Tom?
Well, you know, Steve Gostkowski's the backup punter, so, you know, they're going to do, you know, whatever play is called. If there's a lot of different ways that we can punt the ball. And
can you punt it?
You know, I haven't punted it since 2003, so probably not. I don't think they want me punting the ball. But for good reason, too.
Hey, I figured out why you didn't. Go ahead.
I was a decent punter in high school, but those days are long gone.
I figured out why you didn't wear a brace early in your career. You didn't want it to diminish your 4.3 speed is what the problem was. That the brace slows you down.
What, my 4.3 30?
Hey, why did you keep a ball at the end there? It seemed like you were taking one home for yourself.
I wanted to give it to my son. so he had some to play with on the ride home.
So it was important.
It is important, very, very important.
Hey, I did some TV scouting on you, Tom. I'm not sure that you'll address this. Gold Eagle, the call in the first quarter. And it went to Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. Is Green Ellis Gold Eagle?
We may have to change that audible. That's the problem, you know. I mean, look, they want it to be great television, but, you know, for an offense that communicates, I mean, you can hear damn near everything.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's actually, you know, it's... If it's up to me, I'd break that microphone in about 50 pieces before the game. we'll have to figure out a way to combat that, which I'm sure we'll find a way.
Yeah, you always point out how dumb the defenders are.
Yeah.
They won't figure it out.
Nah.
Yeah, you're right. You're probably right.
All right.
They're way smart, they'd be on offense.
Good luck, Tom, against Buffalo. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Thanks, guys. Take care.